Small.
Kuchek.
Smaller.
Kuchektar.
Smallest.
Kuchektari.
Six birds to Persia.
Hello, and another Middle Eastern matinee with Farry Bradley and various gathered pearls from the scattered Iranian arts. This week we're joined by the black sheep of BBC World Service, Behzad Belor, the animal who makes the World Service look less like something your grandfather remembers and more like one extra, causing mayhem wherever he goes under the guise of the job title Senior Producer, is that right?
Presumer.
Senior
Which
presumer.
I don't know what it means because my English is not really that good. I just hear words and repeat them.
Senior presumer at the Persian World Service. Hello, Behzad.
I'm a great pretender as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Who told you?
I brush my teeth with Resonance toothpaste. That's why I look so good.
You've been on Resonance before, haven't you?
Yes. Yeah, it was some dodgy radio. I'm sure they can hear me now in East London, West London.
We're still dodgy.
Yeah, but it used to be in a really cool place upstairs in under an attic with minimum technology.
That was the place with the Dutch staircase I was
Don't you point your finger at me, yes. And it was cool. It was a place you could smell curry because, you know, it's like student union.
Right, well, you eat curry all the time. Now.
Yeah, things have changed. Yeah. You can smell, you know, vegetarian food.
So we'll be hearing more from Behzad later. Also this week we're playing some specially commissioned sound art from Shug Monkey, who's a regular collaborator with Trans Global Underground, and another taste of the Welsh Iranian cocktail that is Roshi.
Really?
Yes.
I like. And then
فیلم خانه ای از ماسه و مه خیلی خوب است. بازگشت پادشاه بهتر است. ولی بهترین فیلم مثل بکام شوت بزن است.
Is Iran's highest mountain higher than Mount Everest?
دماوند از اورست بلندتر است؟
نه. اورست از دماوند بلندتر است. Everest, بلندترین کوه دنیاست.
Now, before we talk to Behzad and before we listen
we
to...
We learn a lot in this program, you know. It's a scientific program. That's great.
Is it true? Have you been up in any of Iranian mountains?
Yes.
Skiing?
Skiing? No, I'm not that posh. Because skiing in Iran is very posh. You know, you have to wear those sunglasses. But I do have a ski sunglass, which I'm going to show you in a second.
Oh, cool.
But I've been to Darband, which is in north of Tehran, Iran's capital, where Damavand was mentioned in your show, the Mount Damavand.
Yes.
Oh, Alborz, sorry. And we used to go there, up there, and we could walk along this river, which comes from these rocks and things. And you go so high that I can't breathe anymore. And it was cool. It had lots of little, you know, cafes, and boys and girls, you know, would go and kiss.
Is that what you used to do up there?
No, I would kiss donkeys, which is much nicer.
Don't you start any rumors now.
No, donkeys do eat a newspaper in Tehran, actually, because
yes,
they don't feed
I've
them.
Yes, I've seen cows in India eating posters off the wall.
That's it. Mm. And so that's the first time I saw any donkey eating really newspaper was in Darband, north of Tehran, this mountain. And the other funny thing I saw was in actually north of Iran, and the cows were eating Renault's separ chimiche. I don't know the Persian for it. Not number plate, but you know the shock absorbency in front of the car. Because they're made of I don't know whatever, so cows could eat it. That's Iranian cow. This is my ski glass.
I think you
it's
should
yellow.
You should use those when you go.
It's French actually. It's vintage. I like glasses, so I just put it on for Farry.
Thank you very much.
Is your name Farry or do you have a pseudonym?
No.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Is that like hot chick or anything?
Right, well, we're going to cross-examine Behzad in a minute and he might move on to telling us about
it's
the
a blood
view.
Blood test coming up.
The view, yeah. I'd like to hear more about the view of the mountain apart from the donkey.
Oh, yeah, I'll tell you. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Shall
I tell now?
No. We're going to hear from Reza Aramesh. He was on the series last time. He's an artist that we're very interested in.
Mm-hmm. And but nobody knows.
Well, no, actually.
No, it's just joking. Okay. You don't need to defend him.
Every
art
year,
speaks for itself.
You'd like him because every year when there's the Frieze Art Fair at Regent's Park, you know, the kind of highfalutin art fair of art world.
He sells paintings?
Very much. Uh-huh. And other things. And there's an alternative one in the zoo, which they call the Zoo Art Fair, and Reza is heavily involved.
Really?
In,
and what is that? I mean, what
is the alternative art fair. You go along and see.
I should, really.
Yeah, and he publishes.
He could be my best friend in the future.
Reza's great. And every year, him and his friends release a magazine called Centerfold, which is just coming out now, again, another issue. He's also been commissioned by the Barbican for a live still life he's created, which is for their kind of desperate sex and art exhibition.
Okay.
But of more interest to us here on Six Pillars is the fact that he's contributed to a current exhibition called The Lucifer Effect in Hackney. So I sent one of my old students there, Steve Kaczynski, and he's got a comment from a couple of the organisers.
Let's hear it.
Well, obviously, I think it's brilliant because I'm one of the directors, and we've only been open for a year, and this is the big one so far as I'm concerned. What do you think of it?
Seems a bit visceral in places. Visceral. Yeah. I haven't seen all of it, though. But.
Well, that happens, isn't it, with exhibitions from time to time. Yeah. You know, it's just people take from it what they take from it. Just hope everyone takes from it what, you know, what they need to take from it. I mean, we've got a few exhibitions in some reviews this time, so that's what we're after. We're after getting some critical reviews, because we've only been open for a year. It's early days for us yet.
I think the turnout's been really great tonight. You know, it seems to be really well received. Maybe the idea of the show has touched, you know, the right buttons, you know, this idea of Philip Zimbardo's book of how good people turn evil, you know, as being a way of maybe understanding how great tragedies, you know, can happen. Like originally he was trying to figure out why something like the Holocaust can happen, and he became an expert witness also for the Guantanamo Bay prisons. You know, I think each artist has been you know, some really strong works for the show, which I'm really very happy with, you know, and obviously makes, you know, the show what it is. You know, Pierre Secunda has put in a piece in which it's a response to the 7/7 bombings. Then there's Hugh Mendes made paintings of dead dictators. Reza Aramesh, these really fantastic small Polaroids of reenactments from Reuters war zone images. Reenactments inside a collector's home, so you've got this sort of dialectic, you might say, between the opulence and sheer terror, in a sense. It's, you know, each artist has I've invited to take part in this show because they fit really well into the concept of the exhibition, and as a result there's this sort of group dialogue that, you know, hopefully creates a successful, you know, exhibition.
If you are blue, if you are sad, if you're depressed, upset, or unbelievably mad, you'll get a big lift when you're talking with the depressed Persian tow truck man.
So, Reza, you want to see
Reza.
Reza's work?
No. I'm ancient Persian name.
Bezad. What does Bezad mean, actually?
Unfortunately, I found out it's the name of a horse in Shahnameh, the Book of Kings, going back to Achaemenid or Sasanian time. And one of the horses, you know, faithful horse, was Behzad. But it's a good name, I like it, because if you either have Behrouz, which is a lot of Iranians call Behrouz, like Behrouz Vusuqi, the famous actor, who looked like Clooney of his time. And then we have Behzad, who is me. But these days I've seen so many ugly guys called Behzad. I'm sure they are Behrouzes changing their names.
What does it mean, Behzad? Does it have a
Behzad means the birth of good.
Oh.
When Beh means good. Like Beh, Behtarin, Kuchektarin, you're teaching. Yeah. And then Zad means the birth. The birth of good. It could be the birth of Jesus.
I think in those days, a horse had a lot more importance than it does nowadays, because obviously your life depended on the horse. You know,
could be.
Battle
could
in
be. Well, you cannot convince me.
No, that isn't.
You cannot convince me that me having a horse name is okay in these days. It's
that's
not
the
okay.
First record of it. It doesn't
yes.
mean that's good.
Anyway.
So we heard from Gordon Chung just now. He's got an exhibition on at the moment called The Lucifer Effect. Yeah. It's at the Gallery Primo Alonso, which is 395 Hackney Road, until November 18th, and it's free.
When does it move to Knightsbridge so I can go and have a look?
It won't go there.
Oh, my God.
Because it's based on Philip Zombardo's experiment, where he was trying to understand how good people turn evil. So he wrote a book where he introduces this kind of concept of the banality of evil and the banality of
heroism. That's interesting.
Yeah. What he did, he took some students and put them in prison as prisoners and a guard for two weeks.
Yeah.
And
for after, 2 weeks?
Well, no, after 6 days, he had to cancel the experiment.
Yeah, exactly. People go mad.
They did. They became sadistic. They were normal kids, you know, intelligent, well-educated, whatever. And they got emotional problems and
circumstance.
I think we'll
there was a film called, what was it? Anyway, I can't remember.
Well, I think I'm going to hear more about the Lucifer effect in the future, like on Super Nanny or something.
Imprison your babies.
No, it's terrible.
While they're 2 months old.
Well, actually, have you seen that film V for Vendetta?
Oh, that's what I was. That's the name. Yeah, it gets pretty. Yeah, I saw that. I was sitting next to a very beautiful girl.
Glad to see you pick up the important details.
There. Yes, I was just okay. Sharing the same popcorn.
So tell us about the view in the Iranian mountains. Where you...
From Iranian mountain, that is, Iran has this mountain range called Alborz in the north, near the Caspian Sea. Then on the east, in the west is Zagros. So we're talking about Alborz, where Damavand is. Yeah. When you look from top of there, not really top, like... And look at Tehran, you see a beautiful Martian landscape. Because all you see is pink cloud. This pink cloud is because of the pollution.
Oh, lovely.
So from up there, I didn't see anything, I'm afraid.
Actually, my sister, who was 10 when she went to Iran, we asked her what
she got asthma now because of the
she said that,
pollution.
I said, what do you remember? She said, well, when the plane took off, I saw all the pollution.
Yeah, exactly. So, but apart from that, at night, you can see beautiful glittering lights. But that is during Shah time, you know. I was down there during Shah time. An old, can I say fag or not?
What do you
it's
mean?
It's not right. Is it?
What does it mean?
Old
I don't
guy.
Know.
I don't know. I learned in some guys was telling me. Oh, it's faggot. Sorry,
fag
it's
means
different.
Gay, yeah.
All right. So I'm not.
And there aren't any of those in Iran, are there?
No. They don't exist.
No.
So in that case, anybody who is like that can go there and act, and then can say, sorry, it doesn't exist.
Exactly.
So we are not born.
But camp is quite is common.
It's very in.
Yeah, the more you go east, men are very camp.
No, who said that?
I've
You're
seen.
Masculine, brutal men with hairy shoulders. I know when we dance, we look really feminine, but so what?
That's good.
That's
yeah.
good. That's
yeah.
sehr gut. Yeah. Actually, last night, is my brother, Abul Furushan, is a poet, actually. Last night was his 50th birthday.
Oh, my God.
Sorry, 50th birthday. It's very difficult to pronounce TH. And... it was a really funny day because all of us turned 50. My parents and me. I mean, I felt old because I have some white hair in my beard. And my parents are 70-something. They felt like they're 50s again. And my brother was really sad. It's really bad when you turn 50. I hope he doesn't hear this. And then last night I was dancing with a very beautiful woman. And then she gave me a non-compliment. She said, you dance a bit feminine.
Really?
And that was really bad.
That was really
that
bad.
Really, yeah, so go like...
She should have found a better word for it.
Yeah.
She could have said, you've got great rhythm.
But, no, the thing is, I don't. You know, I'm really brutal when I dance.
Yeah, but I think it was
I
a
see
compliment.
Blood.
A compliment,
No,
isn't
she didn't. She wanted to really, you know, put me down. Iranian girls are like that sometimes.
That's horrible.
I don't know.
I'm glad I'm not an Iranian man.
Well, you're right. I don't know.
Okay, so I've got some questions here for you. They're very random.
Okay.
Okay, so just we can get a...
Random nation.
Cross profile.
Is anybody listening to this program? Please...
Call out now.
Call out
because
now.
Listening.
Put your head out of the window and say, aha.
Okay. Okay. So he's worried about what the answers are going to be, aren't you? That's why you
yes.
want to make sure no one's listening.
Make it 18 plus.
Okay then. So why are Ahmadinejad's eyes so close together?
Because, you know, we evolved from different monkeys, apparently. I come directly from gorilla because of the hair. I think it comes from baboon or something. So they're different. Baboons have more closer eyes. One of my uncles, not uncle, my mother's uncle had very close eyes. So he comes from the baboon monkey, evolved from there.
Brilliant.
If you don't believe in creation.
Yeah, so if you're Charles Darwinist or not.
Yeah.
And if you're not Charles Darwinist and you believe that we were...
But you have no proof, for sure. Yeah, okay, so that's my answer.
Okay, so when your Iranian guests come over, where do you like to take them most when they visit?
Well, Oh God, so, that's so loud. Mm-hmm. I always will take them to Soho. I don't care what age they are, what sex they are. They have to go to Soho. Because Soho is the only interesting place in London, in my opinion. Because I'm not like you, you know, underground, you're going to East, you know.
East,
no, I don't like that. But Soho is good. It's like the Sodom and Gomorrah, is it?
Yes.
You get the mishmash of things. You get history in there.
Yeah.
And you get unusual people. You get gay people. You get sodomy. You get really nice shops. You get nice restaurants. And you just feel a sense of freedom. And it's a very nice part of the city.
It is. It's very vibrant.
Yeah, so I always take them there.
Mm. Okay, good.
And that's as far as they're taken. I don't take them upstairs to the red light rooms, which I go myself.
Well, we're glad to hear that, because you have got quite a strong international connection, haven't you? You're often flying around.
Yes. Actually, I'm going to Dubai. We call it Dubai.
Dubai?
It's Iranian accent. Going to Dubai because there are Iranian concerts. You know, Iranian immigrated out of Iran, many of them, 2 million or something, they say, after revolution.
They've got a big collective.
Big collective, as you say, in Los Angeles, where there is the heart of our pop scene.
Yeah, and in Sweden, because they like blonde people, they all went there.
No, they went there because they would give them easy visa.
Oh, right.
Yeah, in the 80s, I was very much involved in running away from Iran, so I know. No, it wasn't beautiful, because they don't like us, maybe. But anyway. But a Los Angeles crowd go to Dubai because it's the closest place to Iran. So Iranians go to Dubai to meet them and go to the concerts. So that's where I'm going to record some Dariush.
Yes.
Eshkeman Oshagam Bosh. Get the copyright. Or Ebi, which is another guy with big nose.
Yeah.
And Shad Meraghili with plucked eyebrows.
Oh.
And also Mansour, who looks like that guy from Doors.
I wish you could film it so we can have a
I'm actually going to film it and then use it in the future BBC TV, which is coming out, which is going to open up in May 2008.
Yeah, because actually I looked at your page on the BBC website.
Go ahead.
You've really made it look like One Extra. It's not a web page. Yeah, I would never expect that from the World Service.
Thanks. But
how
all the time I'm answering
back. So
well, the thing is, I grew up with most of the editors. Who actually I started almost at the same time, back in late 80s or early 90s, they joined. So they have almost, some of them are young, so they know my history, so they allow a bit, and I know how to open up little things, but I'm all the time being questioned and talked to.
Yeah.
Just last week, one of the editors from the news who has to watch over me told me that my whole show is crap, is foul, is empty, is not BBC, because I have to be educational. And I said, sorry, that is old history. Now laughing is an education. Talking about nothing is quite good. It's like silence in London, you know?
Yes.
It's something different. So I'm all the time answering back, and I have to find my way in, you know? And I cheat a lot. For instance, some part of a program or on the internet, I know that some of the days they're not really looking at, so I change the text inside it. Things like that.
But the content, the way you behave, like I've seen countless videos of you on YouTube with BBC backdrop. And
which I was told off by BBC for those as well.
I'm not surprised. I know, but the fact that, not just the copyright for the YouTube, it's the way you behave. It's so One Extra.
It's so sexy, yeah.
Yeah, but it's so wrong. It's so, so not World Service.
Because, you know, I hate World Service. Because it's like, this is ball, this is all power. You know, to me, God, I don't believe in it, so please come and attack, is no longer a 70-year-old man, is a 5-year-old girl.
Oh,
so we have to really change our behavior and mentality towards everything.
Okay.
So I no longer accept BBC old values. The world has changed.
It's kind of patriarchal,
isn't it? No, things have really changed. People are different, so you have to really behave differently, because it means the same. I mean, swearing on the show is similar to saying thank you, madam, 50 years ago, you know.
Yes,
I know you're against that. That's why you're playing with your fingers.
No, I don't know how you got away with all this, and it's really impressive. And I think the editors that you work with must also have to answer a lot.
Yeah, but it's like somebody was saying to me, I'm like someone who gets grade A all the time, but is a bad boy in the classroom. So I'm like that.
I think that's a compliment, yeah.
I'm giving it to you. No, it's just been all the time answering back, but trying to bring up reasons for what I'm doing.
What about your podcast? That's also very interesting.
Podcast is good, yes. Yeah. We have lots of trouble with this copyright thing, isn't it?
But you're well known now for
I get copyright from everybody, thank God. I get from even pop singers. They give me copyright. because I just ring them and say, please, you have to help me, you know? Please. And you can, yeah. And podcast is good. You have like a few thousand people downloading. And some people in Iran cannot download the podcast because it's filtered. BBC website is filtered.
By the government.
By the government. Right. So some of the people who like the show, they actually email the hacked link from BBC and email each other inside Iran. So we have, it's quite popular. It's quite
So, but
I'm talking too much, aren't I?
No, no, not at all. Your followers in Iran, like the people who listen to you and they comment, what do they
sodomize each other. Okay, sorry.
Sorry. It's 1:30 on Monday morning.
And that's the best time to talk about it because, you know, it's the best time of the day.
Nobody's listening.
You wake up with these dreams.
What do they tell you most, the people who write to you from Iran? What's the common feedback?
Well, this is saying compliments about me is not good, but what I do like to show is what you're almost doing as well, is this underground way of thinking. Again, that this alternative thinking, that's something so rare in Iranian community. We are very old-fashioned and conservative.
You see, alternative to me is...
I'll tell you what is alternative to me. It's freedom, sexual freedom, saying no to old values, and being able just to live your life as you are, and being more individual, because Iranian communities are very much like everybody should be the same.
Is that the Quran? Why is that?
No, it's not the Quran. It's the governments always were like that, because in that way they could handle people easier, in my opinion. Not that they did it, they sat down and wrote formulas. No, formulas. They just were like that. There was this fantastic film called The Name of the Rose, and at the end is this cardinal's burning books, and Sean Connery goes to them and said, "What are you doing? Why are you burning all these books?" And this cardinal says, "These books are funny. So if people laugh, they don't take us seriously. And if they don't take us seriously, we cannot rule them." So it's suppressive regimes.
Marmalade.
I thought it said Marmite. Because we're talking about B12 deficiency and Marmite has it. Advertising, huh? Anyway, so trying to show that to them. Especially thinking that God is if the 5-year-old girl, no longer a 70-year-old man. I mean, that's kind of... I don't believe in God, but I'm just... bring it as an example. So the jokes I do, the word dress, all I talk about that, and that's why they like. They say thanks for letting us be like this.
I thought it was a mistake when I saw a picture of you wearing arm warmers on BBC.
And no, I also wore bra under my shirt.
Why did you do that?
Because I'm not gay.
All right.
So it's okay to do this and breaking the rules, you know.
Was it padded?
It was actually padded. It was my one of my colleagues. I asked her to please take it off. And it was padded. It was so funny. And I had really, and I had to censor a few pictures. Then after the editors sort of finished looking at it, then add them back.
So where do you see your career going? Like, what would you like to achieve?
Going to hell.
in utopia, in your mind, where would you see it going?
I think first, going to TV. Before that, I go to this concert on the 15th of October in Barbican. Yeah. Sharam Nazir is coming.
Oh,
I really like him.
Well, we're hopefully Barbican, we'll get him to 15th.
Yeah, maybe. And it's about Rumi. But Korea, I think when I was a kid, I always thought that I have to change things. I thought first, so I'd really want to affect Iranian, young Iranians' lives. Mm. I wanted to be able to think free and be alternative and be individual. So whatever can take me there is great. Going to move to television, and I'm going to be foul and and glittery, hopefully. And when the TV starts, hopefully I have new grounds to experiment with our culture.
Tell us about some of the projects you're working on now, Nazari and Rumi Rap.
Rumi Rap is another thing. Rumi is a, I don't know what century would be in Christian century, 11, but 800 12. Years ago, anyway. He was this Sufi poet who was very alternative. He was really underground. He had really surreal images in his poetry. Mm. And he has thousands of verses.
And you could get killed for being a Sufi.
No, not really.
They used
Sufi
to say, God is in me, and then they used to kill them.
Yeah, that's like 1100 years ago.
Oh, right.
It's okay now. Right. And Rumi, we're doing a project with Iran Heritage, who's a very, you know, posh and good foundation in London, going on for the last 15 years. And because of the 800th anniversary of Maulana Rumi, we have commissioned rap artists and indie rock bands from Iran, if they can get a visa, to do something with Rumi poetry. Really look at it in a different way.
Wow!
So it's going to be on 26th of October, Friday night in South Bank.
In South Bank.
Or shall I say South Bank?
South Bank Center.
Yeah, with an F.
So is it going to be all in Farsi?
No, it's all in Farsi, but we have a new translation of Rumi by my brother. Yeah. So he's a good poet. And then the presentation is in English. I'm going to be on a stage as well. Say hello.
You know when you go to the opera and they have a little screen above, a scrolling screen with the words?
Uh-huh. We don't have that.
No, that's
it's too expensive.
Next time.
No, I'm going to act it, you know. Yeah, exactly. Next time. So I'm going to be on stage introducing them. We have a new translation of Rumi, and then these bands are going to come. We have a girl band who hopefully at least one of them will come, called Enteron. We have Erfan band from L.A., we have another one from London called Seymour and Reveal, who sings in English. And also Mohsen Namju, who is an indie musician and singer from Iran. So hopefully they'll be here.
Sounds great.
I love it, man.
Rumi,
I love
up
you.
To date Rumi. And Nazeri at the Barbican.
Barbican 15th, next Monday. He's coming tomorrow. No, Wednesday. He's going to come in Wednesday. I'm going to see him in Waterloo Station.
Yeah, tell us a bit more what he's
Kiss
doing.
Kiss him.
What's he
going to
do?
He's going to have his band from Iran in Barbican on 15th of October. I think it's a really cool place to be. They are really interesting Iranians. Also Kurdish music. He's going to play some Kurdish music. He's going to sing in Rumi poetry, and it's going to be great. Barbican.
Okay, so there's just...
So shall we go now?
Oh, let's go. Thanks very much, Bezad. I'm going to leave with the Shag Monkey. Shag Monkey.
You're pronouncing it right? It's Shag.
I am. S-U-S-H-U-G.
Oh, hurry.
It's a moniker for an artist who performs a lot with the Transglobal Underground.
Oh.
Shag Monkey is actually an English word. It's an East Anglian ghostly myth about a beast called the Shag Monkey.
Uh-huh.
And Shag Monkey uses a little sarz and a kura.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he uses those
funky
he also
monkey.
Yeah, he's on the next Transglobal Underground CD called Moonshout, singing on the title track.
Maybe he's on 15th of October in Barbican.
We'll get him there. And also he illustrates for Ujamaa and the Shisha Sound System. He's actually made this piece especially for
let's
the show.
Hear it. Yeah. Fantastic.
Khodafiz.
Thank you. Khodafiz. Bye bye.